I will do everything in my power to protect our LGBTQ citizens.
Wouldn't you know in your gut that such a president had abused his office?
Hi, I'm Pete Buttigieg, and I'm mayor of the city of South Bend, Indiana. Today, I'm launching an exploratory committee to run for president of the United States.
Let me be clear. The state of our union is strong.
Welcome to This Way Out, the international LGBT radio magazine. I'm Greg Gordon. Our news wrap crew is off for the holidays, but they'll be back next week with some of the news in or affecting LGBTQ communities around the world. This week's news light imaginary election could be called Trump vs. Buttigieg, the musical. U.S. President Donald Trump had nothing to say to the LGBTQ community in his February 5th State of the Union address to kick off 2019. What the official speech lacked was made up for a few days later, and then some, by soon-to-be Emmy-winning star of the groundbreaking TV series Pose.
Hello, my name is Billy Porter. I'm here with Logo to offer up the LGBTQ State of Our Union, reflect on the past year, and look forward to the year ahead. While our rights are under threat and the sanctity of identities is in peril, let me be clear, the state of our union is strong. Last month, we celebrated the legacy of Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. Each year we offer up Dr. King's inspiring quotes, but it's crucial that we take the time to consider what they really mean. Darkness cannot drive out darkness. Only light can do that. Hate cannot drive out hate. Only love can do that. As LGBTQ people, we face hate every day due to the simple fact of our existence. The Human Rights Campaign reported that in 2018, no fewer than 29 transgender souls, mostly trans women of color, lost their light to violence. We will try to do right by them, to say their names, so that their deaths may not be in vain. According to the Anti-Violence Project, the severity of hate violence against LGBTQ people is increasing. How do we fight this hate? With love. We must continue to demonstrate our love for each other. Love is strength, strength we must have to fight for our integrity and for our very lives. We will fight hate with solidarity by standing up for our siblings around the world. We stand with our siblings in Chechnya, where a crackdown on the LGBT community has resulted in 40 people being detained in recent months, and at least two being killed. We will stand with our siblings in Brazil, where a rash of anti-queer violence has been compounded by the presidential election of a far-right president, Jair Bolsonaro, who has a history of homophobic, racist, and sexist comments. In the words of Bayard Rustin, Dr. King's brother in the struggle for civil rights, when an individual is protesting society's refusal to acknowledge his dignity as a human being, his very act of protest confers dignity on him. And we will fight hate with our voices. We are living with an administration that is seeking to erase our very existence, but we won't let them. We must loudly and proudly declare we are here through the banning of transgender service members. We are here through the violence enacted by hate speech. We are here. And if the victories of the last year prove anything, we ain't going no damn where.
Hi, I'm Pete Buttigieg, and I'm mayor of the city of South Bend, Indiana. And I'm so excited to share with fellow members of the LGBTQ community and the Victory Fund that today I'm launching an exploratory committee to run for president of the United States. I'm mindful of the historic nature of a potential candidacy, seeking to be the first ever out nominee of a major party in American presidential politics. I know what this kind of representation means and how much it matters, partly because I grew up in Indiana. Mike Pence was the governor of our state when I came out publicly during a re-election campaign for mayor. And when I joined the military, don't ask, don't tell was still the law of the land. I've seen how much leadership matters, and I've seen the kind of changes that can happen too, but they don't happen on their own. This is so important, especially for my generation. I belong to a generation that provided most of the troops in the wars after 9/11 that's going to be experiencing climate change in an extremely serious way. It's the generation that stands to be the first to make less than our parents if something doesn't change, but also the first generation to know marriage equality as the norm, and perhaps the first generation where someone can announce a campaign for president with his husband at his side.
My name is Pete Buttigieg. They call me Mayor Pete. I'm a proud son of South Bend, Indiana, and I am running for president of the United States.
The first openly queer U.S. politician to be taken seriously as a legitimate Democratic candidate for president, 37-year-old South Bend, Indiana Mayor Pete Buttigieg, was a guest on TV's The Late Show with Stephen Colbert this week. He came out during a re-election campaign in 2015 at the same time that Mike Pence was the governor of Indiana. Buttigieg provided a stark reminder of who would become president if Donald Trump is removed from office before the end of his term.
So, did you work with Mike Pence?
Yeah, I mean, look, it's the job of a mayor to work with anybody who can benefit the city.
So good guy? Would I like him?
If he's nice, I mean, if he were here, you'd think he's a nice guy to your face, but he's also just fanatical. He seems to think the universe was created a few thousand years ago and that people like me get up in the morning and decide to be gay. And the thing about it is, if that was a choice, it was a choice that was made way above my pay grade. And so what he doesn't realize is that his quarrel is with my creator.
Buttigieg continues to make the media rounds.
Start the clock.
On the March 29th edition of HBO's political comedy show, Real Time with Bill Maher, the host marveled at Mayor Pete's success.
Why are you suddenly rising in the polls?
Well, I think part of it is that people are looking for something completely different. And, you know, we're in this moment. I really believe that Well, in a way, we did, right? I mean, each election in many ways produces somebody who's the reverse of what we just had.
True.
And you could argue that it doesn't get more different from this president than a laid-back, intellectual, young gay mayor from the Midwest.
No.
Let's talk about same-sex marriage.
Then Republican presidential candidate Donald Trump in 2016.
I'm traditional marriage.
But what do you say to a lesbian who's married or a gay man who's married who says, Donald Trump, what's traditional about being married three times?
Well, they have a very good point.
Madam Speaker, the President of the United States.
Since the founding of our nation, many of our greatest strides, from gaining our independence to abolition of civil rights, have been led by people of faith and started in prayer.
To be thick as a brick.
Now people are saying, wow,
I'm very consistent. I'm a very stable genius.
Believe me.
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 Believe me, folks.
Believe me.
Believe me.
Believe me.
Smiling faces, smiling faces. Sometimes they don't tell the truth. Smiling faces tell lies, and I got proof. Oh,
I will do everything in my power to protect our LGBTQ citizens.
And just remember, what you're seeing and what you're reading is not what's happening.
I'm going to regret this speech. I'm proud to tell you that was actually my sick idea.
I said the word would instead of wouldn't.
It's a little bit sad. And I hear about the word impeachment. I said, what did I do now?
A lot of people were in on it, and they got caught. They got caught red-handed.
Mayor Pete's charming television tour hit a historic highlight when the first out presidential contender sat across from MSNBC's out top-rated anchor, Rachel Maddow.
Come out, wherever you are.
I was the first openly gay American Rhodes Scholar, and I had come out in college, so I'd applied for the Rhodes Scholarship as an openly gay person. It definitely came up in the selection process, and then I got there, and I learned that I was the first American who'd ever been out.
Wow.
But that was a decade before you. And you went through college, And then the Rhodes Scholarship process and the getting the Rhodes Scholarship and going to work for McKinsey and joining the Navy and deploying to Afghanistan and coming home and running for mayor in your hometown and getting elected before you came out at the age of 33.
Yeah.
And I bring this up and I acknowledge it's a difficult question, not because it's bad that you didn't come out to your 33, but I think it would have killed me to be closeted for that long. And I'm sure there's ways in which I'm being very politically incorrect by bringing this up, particularly with a presidential candidate. Everybody's path to getting there is different. I just think about what it takes as a human being to know something and to have to bifurcate your public life. And for you to have had all of those difficult transitions and experiences and to be aiming as high as you were all of that time and not coming out until your early 30s, I just wonder if that was hurtful to you, if it hurt you to do it.
It was hard. It was really hard.
Coming out is hard, but being in the closet is harder.
Yeah, no, that's what I mean. I mean, it was and it wasn't. First of all, it took me plenty of time to come out to myself. So I did not, the way you did or the way my husband did, figure out at such an early age that I probably should have. I mean, there's certain plenty of indications by the time I was 15 or so that I could point back and be like, yeah mm-hmm. this kid's gay. I guess I just really needed to not be. And, you know, there's this war that breaks out, I think, inside a lot of people when they realize that they might be something they're afraid of. It was really the deployment that put me over the top. I realized that you only get to be one person. You don't know how long you have on this earth. And by the time I came back, I realized, like, I gotta do something.
Were you sure at the time when you came out that it would cost you re-election?
I was pretty sure it was going to be a big complication. I mean, I felt like things were going well in the city. I felt like I'd done a good job by the people of South Bend, and I had some level of trust that I would be rewarded for that with a re-election. But there's no way to really know. There was no playbook. I mean, no executive in Indiana had ever been out.
Mm-hmm.
And so it was kind of a leap of faith. And I just, you know, I had I wrote it all down, put it in an op-ed, dropped into the South Bend Tribune, and woke up that day and saw what would happen.
And then got re-elected with 80% of the vote.
And then there you go. Yeah. So you treat people, you trust people, and at least in this case, they reciprocated that trust. And, you know, that was more than I got elected in the first place. I guess it's one thing that gives me a lot of encouragement. I mean, don't get me wrong, there's plenty of ugliness that comes in from all over the place. But most people, I think, are either supportive or even enthusiastic about the idea of the first out person going this far, or they find a way to let me know they don't care. Mm-hmm. And that's historic, too. One of the things that I think I can do before the first vote is cast is maybe make it a little easier just by being here for the next person who comes along.
That was Mayor Pete Buttigieg on The Rachel Maddow Show.
Today we finalize new protections of conscience rights for physicians, pharmacists, nurses, teachers, students, and faith-based charities. They've been wanting to do that for a long time, right, Mike?
That's U.S. President Donald Trump during his May 2nd National Day of Prayer speech in the White House Rose Garden, and the mic he was addressing was anti-queer favorite Vice President Mike Pence. Trump's Department of Health and Human Services later confirmed that the new policy establishes so-called conscience rules for healthcare professionals, allowing them to refuse to treat someone based on their religious or moral beliefs. Critics are calling it a license to discriminate and believe that the targets of the new rules are LGBTQ people, such as transgender people seeking hormone therapy, and people with HIV and AIDS needing preventative and long-term care, as well as women seeking contraception or abortion services.
Welcome to The Late Show, everybody. I'm your host, Stephen Colbert. It's Pride Month, but not everybody yet. Thank you. Thank you. That's a lovely response, but not everybody's proud that it is Pride, because the Trump administration has barred Pride flags from embassy flagpoles. Makes sense. They need that space for the new banners that say, "Now accepting election interference."
That's what Democrats and many others across the U.S. are singing now that 20 qualified candidates for the party's presidential nomination have squared off for the first time in a series of nationally televised debates. South Bend Mayor Pete Buttigieg helped his cause during a discussion about Donald Trump's family separation policy at the U.S. southern border.
We got to talk about one other thing, because the Republican Party likes to cloak itself in the language of religion. Now, Our party doesn't talk about that as much, largely for a very good reason, which was we are committed to the separation of church and state, and we stand for people of any religion and people of no religion. But we should call out hypocrisy when we see it. And for a party that associates itself with Christianity, to say that it is okay to suggest that God would smile on the division of families at the hands of federal agents, that God would condone putting children in cages, has lost all claim to ever use religious language again.
You're a mean one, Mr. Trump. You really are a heel.
Very fine people on both sides.
You're as racist as a Klansman dipped in dumb, misguided zeal, Mr. Trump.
I could do the wall over a longer period of time. I didn't need to do this.
Trump versus Buttigieg, the musical, will return after this important message.
In 2019, you heard,
all it comes down to is life or death.
That makes me extremely vulnerable, but it does not make me weak.
If your name is the witch hunt.
And it's also nonsense to have an episode of a TV show banned from an entire state.
Days of demonstrations erupted in Panama City this week.
LGBT organizations in those countries actually don't know who their enemies are.
But wait, before 2019 comes to an end, find out the next thing you'll hear at thiswayout.org.
Happy New Year!
As Trump versus Buttigieg, the musical, continues, return with us now to those thrilling days of yesteryear with 2016 presidential candidate Donald Trump. His transition on trans rights happened before the very eyes of one late-night TV host, and another one provides the 2019 translation.
From Hollywood, it's Jimmy Kimmel Live!
I thought this was very interesting. You believe that transgender people should be able to use whatever bathroom they want to, which is contrary to what a lot of people, most people in your party, believe. Why do you think people are focused on that?
You know, we have to protect everybody. It's a very, very small group. Right now, it's a very small group. The party generally believes that whatever you're born, that's the bathroom you use.
Well, what about you?
And what me, I say, let the states decide. And I think the states will do, hopefully, the right thing.
And what's the right thing?
I don't know yet. I mean, I don't know. Honestly, I don't know.
It's Late Night with Seth Meyers.
First you demonize Muslims, then immigrants, and now the transgender community. Hey, during the election, you told the LGBT community, and I quote, I will fight for you. Did you not mean to include the word for? There's apparently this fear that transgender kids are using it as a ruse to sneak into restrooms and grab people by the genitals. But if you're looking for the kind of person who would do that, you need to look no further than the Oval Office.
Oh, they like to do it. You can do anything.
Whatever you want.
You have them by the person.
Right there.
We have to get the best people. And if we don't, we'll be in trouble for a long period of time.
President has ever done anywhere close to what I've done. The Democrats have gone very far away from Israel. In my opinion, you vote for a Democrat, you're being very disloyal to Jewish people, and you're being very disloyal to Israel. And only weak people would say anything other than that. I am the chosen one, and nobody's done a job like I've done.
We are going to begin this hour with Mayor Buttigieg.
Rachel Maddow was a co-moderator for the second day of the second televised Democratic candidate debate.
In the last 5 years, civil rights activists in our country have led a national debate over race and the criminal justice system. Your community of South Bend, Indiana, has recently been in uproar over an officer-involved shooting. The police force in South Bend is now 6% black in a city that is 26% black. Why has that not improved over your 2 terms as mayor?
Because I couldn't get it done. My community is in anguish right now because of an officer-involved shooting, a black man, Eric Logan, killed by a white officer. And I'm not allowed to take sides until the investigation comes back. The officer said he was attacked with a knife, but he didn't have his body camera on. It's a mess, and we're hurting. And I could walk you through all of the things that we have done as a community, all of the steps that we took from bias training to de-escalation, but
It didn't save the life of Eric Logan. And when I look into his mother's eyes, I have to face the fact that nothing that I say will bring him back. This is an issue that is facing our community and so many communities around the country. And until we move policing out from the shadow of systemic racism, whatever this particular incident teaches us, we will be left with the bigger problem of the fact that there's a wall of mistrust put up one racist act at a time, not just from what's happened in the past, but from what's happening around the country in the present. It threatens the well-being of every community. And I am determined to bring about a day when a white person driving a vehicle and a black person driving a vehicle, when they see a police officer approaching, feels the exact same thing, a feeling not of fear, but of safety. I am determined to bring that day about.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Trump impeachment watchers and U.S. House Republicans got an earful this week from Stanford Law School professor Pamela Karlan. Karlan is a self-avowed snarky bisexual Jewish woman with plenty of queer legal cred. Last month, she argued one of the pending LGBTQ employment rights cases before the U.S. Supreme Court. Karlan's fiery exchange with Representative Doug Collins of Georgia at the House Judiciary Committee hearings on December 4th went viral.
What is really interesting over today and for the next few weeks is America will see why most people don't go to law school. No offense to our professors. But please, really, we're bringing you in here today to testify on stuff that most of you have already written about, all four, for the opinions that we already know, out of the classrooms that maybe you're getting ready for finals in, to discuss things that you probably haven't even had a chance to say. Unless you're really good on TV or watching the hearings for the last couple of weeks, you couldn't have possibly actually digested the Adam Schiff report from yesterday or the Republican response in any real way.
Mr. Collins, I would like to say to you, sir, that I read transcripts of every one of the witnesses who appeared in the live hearing because I would not speak about these things without reviewing the facts. So I'm insulted by the suggestion that as a law professor, I don't care about those facts. I spent all of Thanksgiving vacation sitting there reading these transcripts. I didn't, you know, I ate like a turkey that came to us in the mail that was already cooked because I was spending my time doing this. And the most chilling line for me of the entire process was the following. Ambassador Sondland said he had to announce the investigations. He's talking about President Zelensky. He had to announce the investigations. He didn't actually have to do them as I understood it. And then he said,
I never heard Mr. Goldman anyone say that the investigations had to start or had to be completed. The only thing I heard from Mr. Giuliani or otherwise was that they had to be announced in some form.
And what I took that to mean was this was not about whether Vice President Biden actually committed corruption or not. This was about injuring somebody who the president thinks of as a particularly hard opponent. Imagine living in a part of Louisiana or Texas that's prone to devastating hurricanes and flooding. What would you think if you lived there and your governor asked for a meeting with the president to discuss getting disaster aid that Congress has provided for? What would you think if that president said, I would like you to do us a favor. I'll meet with you and I'll send the disaster relief once you brand my opponent a criminal. Wouldn't you know in your gut that such a president had abused his office, that he'd betrayed the national interest?
Stanford Law School professor Pamela Karlan at the U.S. House Judiciary Committee hearings regarding the impeachment of President Donald Trump.
This is like Watergate, only it's worse.
The president must be held accountable. No one is above the law.
Crazy Nancy Pelosi's House Democrats have branded themselves with an eternal mark of shame.
Is Rudy Giuliani doing the personal
referee? Well, I don't know. I haven't spoken to Rudy. I spoke to him yesterday briefly. He's a very good attorney, and he has been my attorney. Yeah, sure. I know nothing.
People are flushing toilets 10 times, 15 times. So EPA is looking at that very strongly, at my suggestion.
It is a big night for the Astros, and it's a huge night as the president makes his way into the stadium.
Are you talking to me?
It's a very very sad period for this country. And I think in the end, I will consider what's happening now to be one of my greatest achievements. To me, it's a dirty word, the word impeach. It's a dirty, filthy, disgusting word. And it had nothing to do with me. It was all a hoax.
The worst tragedy in the history of this country.
This American carnage stops right here and stops right now.
You're going to have a lot of happy people.
I'm guilty. I'm guilty.
It's the eve of the president's impeachment trial in the U.S. Senate, or not. It's about a month from Iowa's first in the U.S. presidential caucuses. Pete Buttigieg's tenure as mayor of South Bend, Indiana, ends on January 1, 2020. Donald Trump's 2020 State of the Union address to a joint session of Congress is scheduled for February 4th. So it's into the new roaring 20s we go with a boost from Billy Porter.
We will continue to carry on the legacies of our elders, of Marsha P. and Sylvia, of Baldwin and Bayard, of Harvey, Larry, and Miss Major. We will continue to come together to acknowledge and embrace our intersectional community and to push for equality and justice for all. Though darkness may seem to overshadow the progress we've made, we must not let it snuff our light out. Love will and love must keep us united. Only with the strength from love can we continue to forge ahead. Make no mistake, our best days are ahead of us. Onward and upward. God bless our LGBT community, and God bless the United States of America.
Pursue the truth.
Come on, come on.
Learn something new.
You gotta give them hope.
Thanks for discovering This Way Out, brought to you by the nonprofit Overnight Productions. Thanks to our star players.
My name is Billy Porter.
I'm Donald Trump.
I'm Pete Buttigieg.
And our intrepid reporters.
I'm Michael Lebeau.
I'm Carol Myers.
I'm Sarah Sweeney.
I'm Lucia Chappell.
Dennis Solis and the B.G. Adair Trio, The Undisputed Truth, Jessel Tull, Men at Work, The Knickerbockers, The Castaways, and Billy Porter and the original Broadway cast of Kinky Boots performed some of the music you heard, and Kim Wilson composed and performed our theme music. This Way Out thanks the Kicking Assets Fund of the Tides Foundation, the Ivana Foundation, the estate of Christopher David Trentum, John Beaupre, Paul Bannon, Judd Proctor and Brian Burns, Christopher Matthews, James Kennedy, David Hunt, Richard Merck and Brad Payton of Silicon Valley, and all of the listener donors who make this program possible. You can be the next thing we hear by visiting thiswayout.org. Look for This Way Out Radio on social media, email tworadio@aol.com, or write to us at P.O. Box 1065, Los Angeles, California, 90078, USA. For associate producer Lucia Chappell and everyone at This Way Out, I'm Greg Gordon. We thank you for listening at thiswayout.org and wherever you get your podcasts, and on 2MIA Griffith, New South Wales, CFRC Kingston, Ontario, KICI Iowa City, Iowa, and a growing number of other community broadcast and online stations around the world, including this one. Happy New Year, and please do stay tuned.